Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for coming. What an awesome event. Thank you, Spoon River and Kirsten. So fun. Okay, so I'm going to read some poems for you and then a slightly longer prosy piece. This one's called Para Tenerle. Like kissing with the skin off, I gave birth to a donkey, doctor said. I said I wanted to putrefy the layers, even of the lips. She said, I don't want this baby, and there's the conflict, and you look while looking, put me in the river, drop tagging text blocks to ankles, and I was not the only looking, but spaces meant for letters traced quite the casual existence. Hands were withered inside your language, reaching for the stencil. Den of knowing made more ridiculous in the silence. Wished you were not looking at my uterus. Wished you were not looking at my map. Wished you were not looking at a sentence. Crushing teeth, lips, tongue, particulars of peanut butter lodged. This fractional underbelly of circumstance. Wished you were not looking at my map. Wished you were not looking at my map. Perhaps there is more sound where reciprocity is able. A silent S or monotonous H denoting not pronunciation, denoting tone, lurking complexity in weight. Still, hands were sifting skins under abscission, dreaming leaves to flight, to ground, italics ushering fabrication. And while you thought about motherhood, I thought about motherhood, drifting to write a line. And I stopped using pronouns to look at my map. This is, that's nice. Okay. This is called Waterways. There was a dish in the sink, changing color, changing into your mother, coloring shape into mutiny, bartering the carry within your reach. There was a stencil in the language, every word adorned with flight, cramping and passing abreast of your arsenal. First, I saw the season, wound fingers within the pitch of it, arrested the rut in a glancing flinch, and ached for the shapelessness, a wound before the flowering of edges spread to the lines. And through again into your mother, into your carry. Okay, this is called Present. I could eat you, whistling gristle between my molars, pull the strands down every bone, taste below the tongue your barbecued language. When you hugged, it was the last hug in the universe. Arms wrapped over arms behind me, smattering, and I felt every ounce of honesty, each letter gripping fast to spaces and punctuation. I meant it when I said I could chew your bones to free this tense. I meant it. This is called Sometimes Love is Just as Gross as Saving Toenail Clippings in a Jar. I like the title. We had a gross love, the kind with no need for windows or fresh towels or limits, the kind that crawls over your skin, the kind of young love that hurts and drags and yanks with a quick wrist at fragile roots, the kind where you learn and then erase and then learn again, the running of a course, the end of the line, the shattering left like a metronome between ears. Okay, this is called Wooden. Bandaged and I was wound, kind of around this taking, this placing, wounded inexplicably of my own doing and done. She said I had faith. She said I thought that God was good. She said that I was lacquered in pretense, all these tiny toes adrift inside me, wanting no thing but a vacuum to seal the gaps, but a vacuum would leave no thing adrift except me. knowing why she used the past tense now, though the tolling of it wound in endless pitch without a hope of lightness. This one's called Congregation. I see your scales, aching, fluorescent reach, the trail of centuries etched into color. And when the ticking stopped, the panting soliloquy stenciled into every mirror, I felt the crisp of my own scales. Silvered and disengaged, slow with weight and trenched, scales of me left on clothing and fingertips, traipsed below my feet and gathering at the baseboards. This one actually has no title now, yet. I forgot to tell you how we howled and shone. There was no one to see. The way a body tides and rifts, even in the strong parts. And I, full of push, hands like feet that waltz from view, leaving crumbs as much for me as for you. Okay, this is called See You Dad. Her city had massive tits no bra could bridle, but I fucked that bastard pony from Roosevelt to North Avenue, a cruel distance to climb for hope. She wore me out, throwing out my sundress the next afternoon. She heaved her whiskey belch from the gutter, and I remembered my hangover and the painting she stole, the one of her as a woman carrying suburbs on her map when she only wanted to get laid. This one's called A Still Pull. Holding letters in my palm, I put together all your words. Perfected semantics with glancing disdain, flossing your language under my skin. The room was limping from the bone, every draping line. We kept it all astride, sentencing ourselves in ink to create the fullness clearly lacking, to create the stencil of inside, even where stillness would never retreat. Okay, this is called Moonlighting. Squinting out from my nest of your cellulite, I tongued your skin, aglow with the swell of meaty taste you leave. Maybe I'll holiday in acne pockets, weekend in salty nostrils. Could you catch me parasiting, boosting your mites and cilia? Could you scratch deep with grainy fingernails where skin tufts over skin? Find me licking you, swollen with charbroiled soy off my lips, and love me too? Okay, my mouth is so dry. I'm sorry. I'm about to read the last piece. I swear. This is called Within Mutiny. It's actually the title piece from my upcoming book. And it has four parts to it, so this is the first part. A faceless shift into a world I've barely seen, only felt the dark wrath of as it coiled its slimy fingers around my pelvis and pushed with all the strength of its thumb straight into my uterus. I dream of falling downstairs or losing wing power mid-flight. In the dreams, I'm tumbling while sucking in my belly, thrilled with images of taut white sundresses and short shorts and lacy-lined bras. The drop lasts decades. I'm a silvery prune before I wake up, never having met my splattered fate. There's a ladder that leans against my neighbor's house. It catches the cooled sunlight at 9 a.m. and beckons me with trickling sparks. Roof, roof, roof. I've checked. It's chained to the ground. I think they suspect me. Your words miscarried meaning, a trough of tissue bathed in less. We were dancing on the blue line, but you were taking what was there. Wasn't there something meaningful in my expulsion? Don't I have the power to ascertain this tempting thought? 2. Work no longer interests me, and I think the feeling's mutual. The Lincoln Park Conservatory hasn't called since I fucked with the watering schedule in the fernery. They're just so spoiled with light and nutrients, so damn needy. I used to care about those plants, used to sweep their leaves between my fingers in passing and in awe, but lately all I can think about is killing my baby before she kills me. She's probably dead already, dangling around like a puppet strung from the umbilical cord. When I asked Dr. Don't Give A about time, about dying, about torsion or cord entanglement or prolapsed cord, he told me it's unknown how much time is needed for a fetus to die, but it's believed that most fetuses die slowly. Roof, roof, roof. I haven't asked Mom because she'd start back up on the cheap vodka if she knew my condition. She'd get all on the couch with the purples and blues and her ratty house shoes. She'd climb on about the weight of a baby on your hip and arm and breast and sanity. She'd ask me what it is, a girl. Then she'd ask me if it was alive. 3. I've had one dream of her life, seconds under the sun together, wrapped in my yellow, green, and white patchwork blanket. She was sleeping a whimpered way, the undistinguished sweetness of her baby soap ruffling each movement. Slowly and without notice, the umbilical cord grew from within me, uncoiled and reached for her from my loose corduroy pants, snaked out over the mountain of blankets and recoiled around her neck. Her neck that needs to be supported, that bobs in moments of strength, that might wear a scarf that I make to hide hickeys, her neck that might look up, though she's compelled by the world to look down. I couldn't get my fingers under the slick cord, and so I took the knife from my pocket and tried to cut the cord from myself, but it was holding steel muscles captive inside, and I hardly made a paper cut while wrestling with this thing that was coming from me, this thing that stole her breath, this mimicking thing of my own. But I carried you so far. Down the season, on top of hammocks, over trees, trees older than our blood, branches born to sky, pulling eagerly, everly, against the ground, the pull of birthing clouds, these branches leave less. 4. I'm waking up every day, and I hate that part. The stilled gray hours lapping brain time and sick time and escape time, closing narrowly in on life, wishing that autumn or winter might descend on my uterus, though feeling that mock of spring flickering inside me. She's in there. Protruding, maybe dead, maybe suffocating, maybe drowning. I'm trying to figure it out. Our language was still. A started failure is less of leave, though blooming everly towards the ground. A place to start, to find again, the stillness even against the born. What is it? They ask a girl. They never ask if she's alive.